thinks she's out of your life, she pops back up. It's like shingles. Or worse, the Clintons. Just can't get rid of those people. But they have an ointment for shingles. What are they going to do? Some kind of a spray for the Clintons. What's that smell? It's the Clintons.
Wow.
Hillary Clinton's asking us for money. Will her string of mistakes never end?
The hits keep on coming, but she'll never top Benghazi. That's her stairway to heaven.
Yeah, it's the kind of screw-ups that happen when you spend all your free time deleting emails.
Good morning and welcome into the Daily Perspective. Hi there, Mark Congleton here with you, hoping that your Tuesday is going well so far, wherever you may be listening. And thank you very much for listening and joining in on Facebook Live today, as the broadcast is back up on Facebook Live. Oh, my goodness. Started off with the Clintons just because, you know, stream of consciousness. Yeah, she's talking about running again. She's hinting. She's stuck a toe in the water. She's testing things. She's trying to see how people react. And funny thing, my liberal slash progressive social media friends are really, really not happy about it. And I mean really not happy about it. They have expressed themselves thusly. I posted a little something yesterday on social media that one of my liberal friends posted on social media. I just shared it. And he's not happy, and his friends are not happy. And that seems to be a common opinion. They just don't want to see Hillary back in the mix again. Because in their eyes, Hillary is a fraud. Let me explain. Back in the 90s, Hillary Rodham Clinton, she, by the way, if you weren't around or not old enough to be paying attention really at the time, Hillary Clinton went by Hillary Clinton all through the campaign process. While she was out stumping with Bill, she was Hillary Clinton, his faithful companion. When they were elected, when he was elected to office, and I keep saying, please forgive me, but I will continue to say they were elected, or when they were in office, or when they left office, because she imposed herself on everything that happened. So it ended up becoming this team presidency, which really left a bad taste in America's mouth after 8 years. But as soon as he won, suddenly she became Hillary Rodham Clinton, which was really, really strange, because for all this time, everybody just knew her as Hillary Clinton. You know her. Oh, now it's Hillary Rodham Clinton. And we began to see her true colors. But back in those early days in 92, 93, she was a left-wing zealot. She was the one who insisted on pushing for single-payer health care way back then. Hillary Care was what it was dubbed at the time, and it was so wildly unpopular, it never stood a chance. Never. But it was her. It was Hillary Rodham Clinton who pushed Hillary Care on us back in the 90s. Yeah, back in the 90s. Almost, well over 20 years ago. And so now, the liberals, the leftists, the progressives are unhappy with her because she's a traitor. She's a fraud. She is no longer what she professed to be back in the 90s. When she and Bill ended up getting the boot from the White House after 8 years, and the terrible things that they put us through, they were broke. They'll tell you so. Now, truthfully, they weren't really broke. They just weren't as rich as everybody around them. Because those people that they were hanging around in Washington, D.C., and their fundraisers and their big money donors were all really wealthy. And they were a bit jealous. And so they started a campaign, a little private campaign, to become filthy rich. You remember the cattle futures thing. She invests $1,000, makes $100,000. That never, ever happens. It's just completely unheard of. but somehow Hillary did it. And then there were many other things that happened as well. And then there's the Clinton Family Foundation. And it has been just a, it's been this huge filter for money. It's where dirty donations go to get cleaned up, to be put into other uses, with a little bit of slice, a little touch coming off the bottom or the top for the Clintons. So they don't like her because she's rich, because she's one of them now. So the progressives are not very happy with Hillary. And they remember what she and Debbie Wasserman Schultz did to Bernie Sanders, their hero. They don't like Hillary. This is just one of those things that we should keep watching, because honestly, it's going to get entertaining. It really is. If you're paying attention, it's going to become rather entertaining. Oh, my, 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 my. All right, let's move forward here with what I actually had planned to open the show with, and that is Tucker Carlson. I don't know if you've heard about what's happened lately with Tucker Carlson, but bless his heart, his house was attacked by leftist thugs. His wife was scared. Of course, they're now, of course, denying, oh, whoa, it was a peaceful protest. Everything was legal. They're saying that there was nothing untoward happening as a result of their visit to his house. And somehow their innocent actions cracked his front door. But hey, whatever. And now the creepy porn lawyer, Michael Avenatti, who, by the way, you should not trust as far as you could dropkick him, has claimed that Tucker Carlson and his family were at an establishment eating dinner and attacked someone. I'll leave that to you. You go dig that up. But just know that it's Michael Avenatti who is desperately trying to keep his name in the news, desperately trying to keep his face on the news channels. He is desperately trying to regain some sort of relevance. The man is a liar. He's a bald-faced liar. And God love him. People are hoping that this bald-faced, lying, manipulating jerk will get something on Tucker Carlson. Well, last night, Tucker Carlson checked in on the situation in Florida with the count, the vote count. And I want to bring that to you this morning. And let me see if I've got this rigged up right. If you're watching the Facebook live feed, you can see Tucker's face now. And hopefully, if everything goes well, you'll hear what Tucker has to say. Well, of course not. Uh-huh. You know, this is weird because it worked. It worked perfectly before, and now it doesn't. Why doesn't it? At any rate, his take on this entire situation has been priceless. It's been wonderful. And I encourage you to, hang on here, I'm going to dig this up. This is just not going to stand. I have to do this because, you know, this is, I just don't understand. It worked in rehearsal, and that's exactly what happened. It worked in rehearsal. I actually set this up. I checked everything, and it worked perfectly. So let's try it from a different angle. How about that? Let's try it and see if we can pull that up from a different viewpoint. I may have to wait for an ad to play. Okay, here we go. Here's Tucker.
In living memory, there is an election recount crisis in the state of Florida tonight. Just last week, as you'll remember, Republicans Rick Scott and Ron DeSantis defeated Democrats Bill Nelson and Andrew Gillum in the Senate and gubernatorial races there. The results seemed to be conclusive at the time. They were reported on this and every other news channel on election night last Tuesday. And yet just 6 days later, it is very possible that both those Democrats will win the seats, the ones that just the other day they had lost. How did that happen exactly? Well, thousands of new and uncounted ballots appeared in Florida, mostly in Democratic-leaning counties. And those ballots changed the results sufficiently to trigger a statewide recount. That recount is underway right now. The process so far is not inspiring confidence in the system. President Trump has complained about it, as have plenty of other people, including some journalists and Senator Marco Rubio of Florida. But it turns out that complaining about this is not allowed. So to restate the rules, in case you've forgotten, When a Republican wins an election, it is fine to question the legitimacy of the process. Democrats have been doing that since the very day Trump was elected 2 years ago. That is patriotic. It's your duty. But when the Democratic Party's power is at stake, raising any question at all about the process is wrong. Indeed, it's nothing less than the road to dictatorship. Watch.
He's basically trying to undermine at every turn. It's not just Florida. He weighed in on Arizona.
This is Joe Lockhart. He's a former White House press secretary.
He's undermining the legitimacy of elections.
Where he doesn't like the results.
Where he doesn't like the results. And that is a hallmark of a failing democracy, of someone moving towards an authoritarian.
He's authoritarian, scream the authoritarians. Meanwhile, defending the results of elections that have already been called is now the same as overturning elections. Listen to incoming House Speaker Nancy Pelosi explain how this works.
The president has been saying that there's election fraud in Florida. What do you think is happening in Broward County?
My experience with the president is any time he charges somebody with something, he's just projecting what he might have done himself. We are not engaged.
Election fraud?
Well, obstruction, suppression of the vote.
Suppression. Nancy Pelosi did not use that word accidentally. The term is meant to evoke images of a darker time in American history, a time of night riders and burning crosses, a time very few of living Americans remember personally, but that lives in our collective memory. This kind of talk can be politically useful. That's why they do it. That's why it's a theme on the left, in case you haven't noticed. In Broward County, for example, ballot counting is overseen by a woman called Brenda Snipes. Snipes was previously caught illegally destroying ballots. This time around, she's apparently mixed invalid provisional ballots with valid ones. That sounds bad. But don't dare criticize Snipes for the way she does her job. According to MSNBC, the only relevant fact about Brenda Snipes is the color of her skin. Watch.
Here is the way they are treating Brenda Snipes, who is the longtime election supervisor there, who, by the way, is an older black woman in the deep South. Okay, just keep that in mind as you watch this video.
Lock her up!
If you look at the person, in this case a woman, involved, she has had a horrible history.
So in case you're wondering what demagoguery looks like, you just saw it. But why now? Why are they doing this now? Democrats are acting like they've been robbed of power somehow. And yet in elections just last week that all of us saw, Democrats gained power. They retook the House of Representatives after 8 years. They added several governorships. They nearly broke even in the Senate. That was not enough, though. They want more, and they will use any means necessary to get it. In Palm Beach County, the county canvassing board disqualified a vote because it was cast by a non-citizen. Non-citizens are not allowed to vote in federal elections. It is illegal. It also never happens in this country, ever. We're told that again and again, and anyone who disagrees is racist. But in this case, it actually did happen. Nobody disputes that. The Democrats' response to this happening? Attorneys for Gillum and Nelson said the vote should not be disqualified. They objected to the disqualification because the only thing that matters to them in the end is winning. It's easy to find yourself thinking like this if you believe politics is holy war. To a religious extremist, an election is not a contest between fellow Americans who disagree on policy. It's an existential battle between good and evil. Evil must be vanquished at all costs, no matter what. Kirsten Gillibrand has reached this conclusion. Now, Senator Gillibrand is not an obvious candidate for America's leading moral voice. She was a longtime friend and defender of Harvey Weinstein's, for example. But listen to her now, preaching like it's the last Sunday in Lent.
Are you staying in the Senate or are you going to run for president?
I've been thinking about it because, as we said earlier, what President Trump has been putting into this country is so disturbing, so divisive, so dark that I believe that I've been called to fight as hard as I possibly can to restore that moral integrity, that moral decency.
That sounds like a yes.
So I'm thinking about it.
Moral integrity.
Wow.
Moral decency. That's what Democrats are telling you they are defending. And if you think about it for a minute, that is worrisome. People who know how deeply flawed they are tend not to overreach. They have humility. But when you're a holy warrior on a mission from God, what won't you do?
Remember what I've been telling you. These people see themselves as morally and intellectually superior except everyone else. More after the break. This is The Daily Perspective. This is The Daily Perspective. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining me on Facebook Live this morning. Good to have you along. Have you signed up for the Daily Perspective newsletter yet? I ask you this every day. I made it easy. Just go to the Facebook page. Go to Mark and Mac Show or the Daily Perspective Facebook pages. There's a button just for signing up for the newsletter. So get signed up and get yourself some show notes emailed directly to you so you don't have to go digging for that stuff on the web. I'll send it to you along with my my notes that go along with the links to the stories. So get signed up today. Also, from time to time, just oddball stuff that happens to suit my fancy, things that cross my mind, I'll pass those along as well. All righty. Let's see here. Where are we going? All right, let's dive back into this. There's back in Broward County. back in Broward County. It sounds like something you never mind. The situation with the vote, this is not a new scenario. This is something which has in the past occurred. And we're familiar with the story of this in Broward County where someone has where actually Brenda Snipes has actually been guilty of destroying Republican votes. And now we're seeing other things happening. Well, let's go back in time. Let's hop into to the Wayback Machine with Mr. Peabody and Sherman and go back to 2000. There's an opinion piece on the Washington Examiner site entitled Broward County Stole My Vote in 2000 and Brenda Snipes Helped Cover It Up. Let's dig in. It's written by Dave Lowry. I voted by absentee ballot during the 2000 presidential election. I had to. I was stationed at Fort Hood, Texas, and I sent my ballot via UPS to the office of the Broward County Supervisor of Elections. The reason I used UPS was that I had been away from home for 3 weeks of temporary duty in Washington before the election. I barely made it back in time to vote and send in my ballot. Knowing it would be close, I sent my ballot via UPS. I tracked the package the entire way. It was delivered and signed for by someone named Benson at 3:09 p.m. on Tuesday, November 7th, 2000. The legal deadline was 7 p.m., so my ballot made it on time. 7 months later, I got a call from Chris Drew at the New York Times. He told me my name was on a list of thousands of voters whose absentee ballots had not been counted. My ballot, he informed me, had been stamped by Broward County as received 9 days late on November 16th of 2000. I was stunned by this revelation. For the next 4 years, I tried to figure out what had happened. I made repeated requests for a copy of my ballot, but the office of the Broward County Supervisor of Elections delayed and stonewalled for a year and a half until the statute of limitations had expired. On November 30th, 2003, Jeb Bush suspended Broward Elections Supervisor Miriam Oliphant for incompetence. Late in 2003, after the 2-year statute of limitations expired, I finally received a Xerox copy of the voided ballot. With that and a multitude of other documents, I built my case. I presented it to the Florida Elections Commission during a public hearing in Tallahassee in 2004. They validated my claim and sent a letter to Brenda Snipes, the new Broward County Supervisor of Elections, asking that my ballot be officially opened and counted in the official suit. Brenda Snipes never responded to the letter. To date, my ballot has never been opened or counted. I believe that thousands of Floridian absentee ballots from that election were fraudulently stamped with incorrect dates of receipt. The Supervisor of Elections knows there is no tracking system on ballots handled by the U.S. Postal Service. With no tracking, the receiver can stamp them as late without fear of being caught. It's the perfect crime. I can't speak to the motive. Some election workers might be just lazy. But let's say an unscrupulous hyper-partisan entity decided to sort the ballots by party registration and decide which ballots to open and count and which ones to mark late. My vote was stolen by some unscrupulous government servant. Unfortunately, Miriam Oliphant was never charged with a misdemeanor for stealing my vote because she stonewalled and denied access to the evidence I needed to prove my case. Oliphant's replacement, Dr. Brenda Snipes, took no action to count my vote. She just swept it under the rug. But I did succeed in proving that George W. Bush won by 538 votes, not 537. I guess that's something. The question now is, what about Brenda Snipes? It would be unwise for Governor Scott to suspend Snipes. His name is on the ballot in a close contest. Scott has a glaring conflict of interest. Florida Secretary of State Ken Dexner needs to act immediately to suspend and replace Snipes before she completely destroys what little remains of Broward County voter confidence. It's overdue. And so here we have a story of a guy whose vote was in Broward County, in the hands of the people that had to have it, well before, hours before the deadline, but was fraudulently stamped multiple days late and not counted. So if that's happened then, and the person removed was replaced by the current administrator who ignored requests to remedy the situation, what's happening now? That's a question we all have to ask ourselves. Well, the Democrats are all saying, don't you want all the votes counted? The Republicans don't want all the votes counted. It's funny that I've been saying this for a few days now, that what that is a distraction. And then I saw video footage of Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh, this morning on the news, saying the same thing yesterday on his show. Now, I'm not saying he's copying me. I doubt he even knows I breathe. The thing is that this is what's happening. The left is creating a distraction. They're saying that all the votes should be counted. And like I've said, yes, all the votes that are legal should be counted. There are laws which govern these election processes. There are deadlines. There are times that that your vote has to be there. And in Florida, 65 out of 67 counties managed to get that done. Even Bay County, which was hit by a hurricane, managed to get that done. We have a story about Bay County and emailed votes here pretty soon, but we'll get to that. That was only 150 votes. In Broward and Palm Beach counties, we're talking about substantially more. Well, now, Democratic Florida Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz has claimed that Broward County Election Supervisor Brenda Snipes has followed the law, despite a ruling from a circuit judge that reaches the exact opposite conclusion. It's actually kind of crazy. Let's see if we can get this to work here.
Changes made after 2000. I covered it. Many of my colleagues covered that recount there.
Yeah.
And the thought in the wake of that was, okay, let's see Florida get their system together. But the fact is, here we are in 2018, and you have instances. And I don't mean to focus too much attention on the Broward County election supervisor, Brenda Snipes, who's become sort of a favorite target of folks on the right. But the fact is, she has had missteps in recent elections and yet still has that position here and appears to have missed some deadlines, et cetera. I mean, why hasn't the process been corrected to remove people like that and get people into those key positions who can do the job as required?
Well, number one, she's followed the process as Florida law prescribes, and there's been absolutely nothing amiss that has been found by Rick Scott's own Department of State election monitors, who have been in her office since the spring, and through Florida Department of Law Enforcement, which has also
except for a judge ruling the exact opposite way. Let's remember something about Debbie Wasserman Schultz, shall we? She was pulled from her position as the head of the DNC. Remember? Do you remember why? She rigged the primaries against Bernie Sanders. That's why. So Debbie Wasserman Schultz is the go-to, the person to talk to. CNN calls on this person to ask about the validity of a vote. And she was yanked from the DNC, directing the DNC, because actually, when you look at the truth about this, they didn't poll her because they disagreed with what she did. They polled her because the rank and file didn't like her because she cast a bad image over the DNC. So CNN goes to Debbie Wasserman Schultz, someone who has committed fraud in the process in order to get Hillary Rodham Clinton the nomination for the Democrats to run for president. And this is who they ask an opinion about an election? And they wonder why Nickelodeon's beating them in the ratings. Oh. More to come after the break. This is The Daily Perspective. You know, a lot of these songs were back in the 60s and the 70s. They were really playing the stereo tricks hard. If you're listening with earphones, from time to time, I'll have some bumper music come up and it sounds like, oh, wait a minute, something's really wrong here. No, that's just people on drugs mixing sound. That's what that is. It's you're listening to The Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here. Glad you're along for the ride. Thank you so much for joining me today, those of you on Facebook Live and those of you listening in other ways. And speaking of ways to listen, there are a handful of ways to listen. You can listen on the website. Just go to markandmacshow.com or markcongleton.com. There's a player there that will play the most recent version, the most recent edition of the show. You can also subscribe to the podcast. It's available through iTunes or through the Google Podcast app. And we've also set up some players that allow you to listen online. Simple Radio, Radio Line, and MyTuner Radio. All three of those access the exact same content you get from the player that's on the websites. And finally, a lot of you already have the TuneIn Radio app on your phone for listening to your favorite radio stations while you're driving. Well, you can also listen to the podcast through the TuneIn Radio app. So those are your ways to listen. And trust me, I do appreciate you listening. Thank you very much. Well, Andrew Gillum, he is not a happy camper. He's outraged. He is. That's in the Washington Times, this article, the title is Andrew Gillum Outraged by Illegal Email Votes in Heavily Republican County. Democratic gubernatorial candidate Andrew Gillum has expressed outrage that some voters in hurricane-ravaged Bay County had been allowed to vote by email against state rules. Gillum spoke Monday evening at an African-American church in Boynton Beach. Election supervisor Mark Anderson in heavily Republican Bay County told the Miami Herald earlier on Monday that he allowed about 150 people to cast ballots by email, which is illegal under state law. Gillum said, "These are the stories that we know. Imagine the ones that we don't." Wow, just between you and me, the man's got a lot of nerve. President Donald Trump tweeted earlier Monday that the election should be called for Gillum's Republican opponent, Ron DeSantis, and Governor Rick Scott, who's running for U.S. Senate. Trump said an honest vote count is no longer possible. Gillum disagreed with the tweet, saying, "Not one supervisor, not one governor, not one president, if that's what we want to call him, should be able to take away our sense of hope." Well, Mr. Gillum, let me just say this, that Brenda Snipes has done exactly that in Broward County, and so has the supervisor in Palm Beach County. They've both taken away the hope of people who wanted an honest election. And yet, that doesn't matter to you. Honesty is not what matters. And speaking of honesty, let's look into what actually happened in Bay County. Coming to us from this article, there's articles all over the place. There's Miami's papers have them practically everywhere. This is coming from AOL.com. Election officials, this is late yesterday afternoon, about around 4:30 yesterday afternoon. Election officials in a Florida county battered by Hurricane Michael last month allowed about 150 displaced voters to cast ballots by mail, even though it's not allowed under state law. The Miami Herald reports that Bay County Supervisor of Elections Mark Anderson defended that decision Monday. Anderson told the newspaper that parts of the county remained shut off by law enforcement, preventing people from reaching their homes. The displaced voters were allowed to scan and email ballots to the election office. Anderson said all the ballots were verified by signature. Hurricane Michael hit the Florida Panhandle October 10th in a devastating Category 4 storm. On October 18th, Governor Rick Scott issued an executive order extending early voting and designating more voting locations in eight counties, including Bay. A statement that accompanied the order specifically prohibited votes being returned by email or fax. So, yes, legally speaking, those 150 votes don't count. They don't count, legally speaking. I understand the rationale. You understand the rationale. I get it. You get it. But legally speaking, that's 150 votes that were not submitted by the ways allowed by law. If we give these a pass, then we have to give Broward County a pass. And this is what Andrew Gillum is trying to do. He wants you and I to give Broward County and Palm Beach County a pass, to shrug our shoulders and say, oh, well, what you going to do? Because we would be willing to say, oh, well, what you going to do? In Bay County, it's 150 votes. 150. Currently, the margin is in the thousands. Thousands of votes. And they're trying to get every vote they can. I understand that. The Democrats are trying to scrape up every vote they can. They're trying the age-old trick of, oh, look, I found some votes in this trunk of a car here. Oh, wait a minute. Here was another one. There was a rental car that showed up at an airport, returned to a rental location that had a provisional ballot box and supplies in the back. They say it was just blank ballots. That's what they said. And you see, I'm suspicious. You can tell, can't you? You're suspicious, too. Why are we suspicious? Because of what we've seen and heard coming out of Broward County and Palm Beach County. That's why we're suspicious. We have a woman here who burned Republican votes years ago. We have a woman here who, she should not be in charge. But because elections are what they are, she is locally elected. Because elections are what they are, people go to the polls and just say, I don't know anything about this, just put her back in. They just don't, they're not studying the candidates. They just keep sending the same people back. You know that happens. Come on, you know you've done it. I've done it. Who hasn't done it? You've looked at that ballot that's It's just ginormous piece of paper, and you turn it over and there's all these people and all these amendments and all this stuff, and you scratch your head and bite your tongue and go, well, that sounds good. Everybody has done it. And the problem is that more people do it consistently every time there's a vote. There's more in that category than there are in the category of people who have finally decided to care and to study and to research, and to look beyond what the progressive press is trying to tell you about the situation, and to dig for the truth. And that's why people like Brenda Snipes keep getting reelected. She's still there. So Andrew Gillum wants us to accept what's happening in Broward and Palm Beach counties because 150 people, displaced voters, illegally cast votes by email in Bay County. Now, the Bay County Supervisor of Elections, Mark Anderson, may have defended his actions, but he was wrong. There was no provision for email ballots. None. A statement accompanying the official order, the executive order extending early voting and designating more voting locations in those eight counties affected by the hurricane, which included Bay County, specifically prohibited email or fax voting. Specifically. He knew better. He did it anyway. And now 150 people have lost their votes. He should have said, I'm sorry, you can't do that. You have to find your way to one of these locations that have been set up because of the emergency situation here. We've set these locations up. You need to get to one of these locations. If you can't get to one of these locations, there's not another option. This is what's set up. We can't fudge this for you. That's what he should have done. Did he do that? No, he did not. And so, Mark Anderson, the Bay County Supervisor of Elections, may have had good intentions, but he broke the law doing what he did. And his decision has resulted in votes that can't be counted. That's just the way it works. As I said before, as a conservative, if you call yourself a Republican or an independent or whatever, this is what you have to accept if you're going to point a finger at Bay County and Palm Beach County. And what's happening in Bay County and Palm Beach County? That is either vote fraud or gross incompetence. I'll let you think about that for a little while. It's either vote fraud or gross incompetence. And if it is gross incompetence, then those people who are camping outside of Brenda Snipes' offices with their signs screaming, lock her up, they're just as justified in their anger if it's incompetence as if it were fraud. Because there is no reason to allow an operation to continue like that under such incompetence. But again, like I said earlier, the people there keep reelecting her, keep putting her back in office because they don't know any better, because frankly, they just don't care. They don't care enough to dig and to find out what's really going on and how it's affecting things. So, Andrew Gillum is outraged. He's outraged. Outraged, I tell you, by 150 votes. 150 votes. I say, okay, take them off. It's 150 votes. I'll give you that. Now shut up about Broward County and Palm Beach County. And be honest. Uh-oh. I just asked for something that can't happen. There is not going to be any honesty as far as this is concerned. Not at all. All right, up next, we go from voting to fires as the Daily Perspective continues. You are listening to The Daily Perspective. I am your sometimes humble host, Mark Congleton. Good to have you along. Thank you very much for listening. Thanks for sharing the show, for subscribing to the newsletter. If you haven't subscribed, come on. What are you waiting for? I made it easy. Just go to the Facebook pages. There's a button there for subscribing. What else is there? I can't think of anything else I need to push, except for this. There's a lot of stuff happening in California right now with this wildfire. And a lot of opinion centered around it. And it's hard. It is hard sometimes to feel compassion for people so far away from where you live. And if you live on the far side of the country from what's happening there, you just see on the news what's going on and you shake your head and you're just like, wow, that's a shame. It's a horrible thing. It's happened. Over 30 people have passed away. But you have to also remember that this has probably happened near you. If you live in the Southeast, it happened in the Smokies just a few years ago, where we had people's homes destroyed, and there was a massive effort of compassion to help those people, and I got to play a small part in that. When I was working for the Scott Dawson Evangelistic Association, we helped gather up what needed things. And we had something like 10,000 students at an event, and we asked them all to bring a little something to help those who needed clothes and water and food and the like. And we were able to take a truckload of stuff over to the donation center. And I got to be part of that day. And I got to see the effort firsthand, the compassion that was poured out. And that's happening even as we speak. There are people who are working to help those in California who have been victimized by fire. Terrible thing, fire. James Woods, who's on Twitter, he's a monster on Twitter. He has pretty much given up all of his political commentary, and all he's doing now is coordinating relief efforts. Even to the point of, I saw one of his posts yesterday, one of his tweets was just trying to find a place to relocate cats. Cats that were now homeless and gathered up, who were not hurt by the fire, who were now healthy, and they just they're looking for a place to house these cats while people, you know, and to let people know, hey, come here and look for your cat if you're missing your cat. Even that, and livestock, horses, cattle, things like that, people's, you know, just connecting people. So-and-so is missing so-and-so. If you know where they are, go here. And he's provided basically a central place for people to go look, where you can just enter one hashtag and you can find all of the entries for people who are trying to coordinate finding each other and their pets and the like. And it's just an amazing thing to watch happen. Well, the reason that we have these wildfires, there's a lot of conjecture, a lot of second guessing about that. But Jen Kearns, who served as a spokeswoman for the 2007 California wildfires as an appointee of Governor Schwarzenegger to the California Insurance Commissioner, she also served as a spokeswoman for the California Republican Party and a spokeswoman for Prop 8, which went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. She serves as a Fox News writer. For the 2000 U.S. 16 U.S. presidential debates as well. She has written an opinion piece which has appeared in the Daily Caller on their website, and I have it here, and I want to pass it along to you, and hopefully we have enough time to get to all of this. At least 31 people are now dead, more than 200 are missing, and 250,000 more were forced to flee for their lives from California wildfires over the weekend. The state, known for pushing milestones, just surpassed another one. The weekend's fires in Malibu and Northern California became the deadliest fires in state history. With California burning, the response from the state's liberal political elite? It's climate change, of course. Nothing could be further from the truth. The wildfires crisis in California, like other crises plaguing the state, are mostly man-made, but not in the way environmentalists would have you believe. President Trump was right to chastise state leaders over the weekend as he threatened to withhold federal funds over what he called the gross mismanagement of forests. Indeed, the push from the environmentalist lobby on both the state and federal level has led to deadly consequences. 30 years of radical environmental policies which prohibit the proper trimming of forests and brush have created a literal tinderbox just waiting to ignite. A Reason Foundation study found that massive reforms were needed to stop the deadly fires. In their study, Reason reported that it was once the top priority of the U.S. Forestry Service to suppress fires, something the professionals did with great success for four decades. From 1910 to the mid-1950s, forest fires fell from 1 million to approximately 250,000 and remained so until they began to rise again near the 90s. The reduction of fires continued until 1990, when the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service listed the spotted owl as threatened under the Endangered Species Act. This set off alarm bells for wildlife and environmental activists. By the time President Bill Clinton left office, he had implemented the 2001 roadless rule. That roadless, as in no roads, roadless rule that restricted use of roads and prevented the building of new roads nearly 50 million acres of forest. It may have saved the spotted owl, but the result was that it kept Forest Service professionals from being able to properly clear brush and manage forests. As a result, during Clinton's reign from 1992 to 2000, removal of timber declined drastically from 2000 to 2013. Thanks to his rule, there was an 80% decline in proper forestry removal to prevent deadly fires. Adding insult to literal injury, in an already fragile state such as California, around the same time a politician created drought robbed Southern California of precious water resources, thanks to yet another environmentalist charade in a move that the National Center for Public Policy Research called a man-made disaster. Governor Jerry Brown diverted millions of gallons of water into the San Francisco Bay Area and away from other parts of California to save a fish the size of a minnow. The result has been water rationing, the killing of precious crops, and the increase of dry lawns and brush surrounding residential areas. The single act of a politician dramatically altering a key source of water in California has placed the life of a small fish above the lives and safety of millions of human beings. Talk about foolishness. These man-made factors have led to a combustible situation, the likes of which were seen in Malibu and Northern California over the weekend. Failure to see the cause and effect here is a stubborn refusal to see the evidence and a failure on the part of Democrat leadership and their radical environmentalist base. It's ironic that the same Democrat leaders who often accuse Republicans of failing to pay attention to science are the ones now failing to do so. Sadly, with Governor-elect Gavin Newsom stating that this week's fire was caused by climate change, it appears that state leaders have learned absolutely nothing from their mistakes. Until they do, people will continue to die. Any future solution to California's vast wildlife crisis will require an honest, one that includes the hard truth, which is that Democrats' long-heralded policies of radical environmentalism, restriction of proper forestry practices, and politician-created drought are what have led to California's losses. Until they realize they're sacrificing human beings on the altar of their environmentalism, every time we hear of a new death from a senseless wildfire, California Democrats and their radical environmentalist friends will continue to have blood on their hands. And that's the article written by Jen Kearns. And she's absolutely right. But back to this last paragraph. Until they realize they're sacrificing human beings on the altar of their environmentalism. We've learned long ago that when it comes to the environmental radical left, they don't care if people die for the cause. They don't care if people die, if nature is preserved. They don't. And if you don't believe that's true, you need to learn this fact. They will sacrifice themselves. Look at what's happening in Louisiana right now with environmentalists protesting a pipeline. Go look that up. They will subject themselves to a horrible living conditions, and they don't care if they die, if it prevents that pipeline from going through. So do you think they'll care if you die? No. Why? Because they're morally and intellectually superior to you. That's why. You can't understand, and you never will. And that's it for today. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you back tomorrow here on The Daily Perspective.